Thank you for listening to the Calgary Business Podcast. As host, I continue to learn about the initiatives from small business owners, students, student founders, educators, edtech founders, civic officials, nonprofit executives, healthcare executives, technology experts, technology startup founders, and even oil and gas tech startups. These individuals have shared their stories in person during the pre-COVID period and remotely throughout the COVID and the quasi-COVID opening periods. Out of 86 podcasts recorded and released so far in 2021, I had the privilege of learning about the important support network of Woods Homes from clinical coordinator David Williamson during episode 309. As I learned, Woods Homes provides treatment and support for children, youth, and families with mental health needs, a service that has become increasingly important during the COVID pandemic. Take the time to consider learning more about and possibly donating to Woods Homes and their many programs, including the Elbow Springs Counseling Service. Once again, thanks for listening to the Calgary Business Podcast. I invite you to subscribe to the podcast from whatever app you access your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and even Amazon Music. I also invite you to leave a review. This will allow others to easily find the Calgary Business Podcast. Have a great day and stay safe. Good morning and welcome to Calgary Business Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Wozni, and for episode number 319, I have the Code Ninja Gurus. It's Tyra McDonald and Anthony Dang. Anthony and Tyra, please introduce yourselves. I'll let Tyra go first and then we can go from there.
Hi, I'm Tyra. I am a marketing student at MRU and I've been working at Code Ninjas since March 2021. I think it's one of the best places I've ever worked at, actually.
So you like, this is not too long ago. So you really just started working, but you're also a student still.
Yeah.
You are a student. Okay. So are you working with, even like while you're studying, you're still working with Anthony and the Code Ninjas team?
Yeah, I work 4 days a week. So I still work after school, doing all the internal stuff with marketing, All of that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to Anthony. Introduce yourself, Anthony, and we can go a deep dive into the Code Ninjas as well.
Sure. Hi, my name is Anthony. I'm a fourth year at BCIS at MRU, just like Tyra. And I've been working at Code Ninjas since April of 2021.
Oh, so you both are just like fresh at this.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So how long has the Code Ninja, maybe Anthony, you can speak to that. How long has it been where you're working at? How long has it been there?
We opened up in April. So when Tyra joined in March, she was helping set up all the back end stuff. But now during April is when we officially opened and started letting.
Oh, so this kids is like in. Fresh. I mean, it's fresh. Like you were like ground. Let's get the office set up. It's not just doing classes. Like you had the backstory as well. Tyra, you're shaking your head there. So, I mean, literally, what was that like? Like, did you find the place for them? The manager? Maybe you can give a shout out to the manager, someone who runs the place.
James Louis is the owner. He is working with the franchise. He worked with the franchise for a year, actually, before I even started.
Yeah.
So the building was still getting built out when I first started. So it was all Zoom meetings and figuring out how pre-sales were going to run and how we were going to try to reach out to the Willow Park community to get some attention.
Wow. So this is like real grassroots. Anthony, first we're going to go here. We're going to stick with Tyra because this is pretty cool. So it's like finding the space. He had it already. James had the space already pegged out in Willow Park.
Yeah.
Okay. So just, I want to get my bearings straight because I had a podcast with a real ninja, of Five Elements Studio, and she's somewhere in that area. I don't
know. Okay.
So it's like because this goes back. It's in that hair. It's just on that road, like that back. Anyway, I think you've taken me because there's a Willow Park
liquor store, which is the massive one everybody always talks about. If you're, yeah. And then you're in that kind of area, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, right in the village there.
Okay. Anyway, so that's pretty cool. So that's fun. We could talk about that all day, but you're talking about the pre-sales, like that was promoting in the community. Were you doing stuff?
Yeah, starting up all of our social media accounts, getting those all ready, and then trying to reach out to the Willow Park community base, and right. They kind of advertised for us to get some attention a bit, and then starting up all of the online advertising, reaching out to the marketing director of the Willow Park community, because she posts like billboards and stuff like that. So basically I'm trying to figure out what the business even is, and I'm trying to figure out how we're going to market for it. It was a lot in the beginning, but it was so fun.
Okay. We can come back to that, because that's your kind of practical taking from what you learned in Mount Royal, and then bringing that Mount Royal University, and then bringing that into the day to day. So Anthony, what dragged you, into that? Cause are you a coder as well, or?
Yes. My program, I learned both programming and business, but I'm more I like programming more than I do business.
Yeah.
What really drew me to this job was the fact that I got to teach kids about the fun aspect of programming, because I didn't get into programming until high school. And I feel like that's a really late stage, because it took me about 3 years, all 3 years of high school for me to learn programming.
You're an OG in this space, man. 6 months, people are already old people. Wow. So 3 years, you've been coding for 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's been seven. Sorry.
Oh, seven.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying you didn't start until high school. Okay. So
yes.
So let's go back to why they hired, not why they hired you, but what, you sort of, I mean, there's that kind of the beginning stage is like, have you taught classes like this before?
I have not. I have practically no teaching experience other than just helping classmates.
All right. Yeah, but he has a natural instinct. Hey, it's more than just my Wi-Fi is not working. It's like this code isn't working, right? Like the IT kind of, the gurus changed from that, right? I mean, I don't know what you were like, but my day was like, yeah, the Wi-Fi is not working. Can you help out, right? The guy who's good at that. But you're like helping people with code, Anthony. Is that?
Oh, yeah. So they typically write their own code, and then usually we need to come over and debug it sometimes, because they don't grasp like capitals, for example, how capitals play a big part in programming. So it's just like the little things that we help out with.
But let's go real like early, like the first time someone comes there, and maybe Tyra brings them in. So Tyra, you're going to, let's onboard somebody, and then Anthony, code one or whatever it is, line, the first line of code. But Tyra, where does that start? Let's go back to when you bring in those people in, kids.
Yeah. So when leads come in, we get them in for a free session so that we can explain, or I can explain the program to them. Because typically parents actually don't understand coding at all. They are like, well, my kids play video games all the time. How, what do I do with them? They don't like sports, whatever.
Yeah.
And so we get them in, I explain the program to them so that they can understand it. So I have a really simple understanding of what coding is, and that is easier for me to convey to parents because they don't know either.
Sure.
So it works really well. And then the kids go in with Anthony, and they'll do a simple coding game. So they'll build their own game on a platform called Scratch. So it's block-based building, so that it's super simple for them to understand. The senseis, so Anthony, will be able to walk through the whole process with them, build out an entire game, and then they come out and they show their parents, look what I did in 30 minutes. I built a game. And
that's
then
day
parents,
one. Yeah. Day one. Yeah. No way. So, okay. So Anthony, you're taking these kids from Scratch. Wait, no. They're learning on a program called Scratch, right?
Yes.
Okay. So explain that. So sitting down, all right, this is like the free session, right? Tyra, is that? So Anthony, you're sitting the kids down. How old are they? The first ones.
They vary from 7 to 13-year-olds. We've had a whole array of them. We've even had some like 5-year-olds or 4-year-olds at one point come in for the free gaming session.
Okay, so the parents, so Tyra says, yeah, these parents are like me or whatever. Like they play games, so they must be really good at coding. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, right?
Unfortunately not.
Okay, so the kids sit down, and how big is the typical class size, or how many do you deal with at one time? Would you 4 or 5 or?
Yeah, typically we want one sensei or one teacher for every 5 students.
Okay, so 1 to 5, the sensei. So like I'm picturing, you know, the Karate Kid, and the sensei's like this guru walks in and there's like an aura around him, you know, and like this glow and like everyone stops and looks. It's not quite like that, is it?
No.
So Tyra, what? Tyra's laughing, I can see.
Yeah, typically when the kids go in there, there will always be a class in session. So with probably 8, maybe 10 kids, and then that new student will go in, they'll do their free gaming session, and they'll see, and there will just be a classroom. Every single kid sitting there with either a headset on, or they're sitting there with their laptop. We have really expensive full gaming laptops, and then they also have a second monitor so they can see all the instructions of what they're doing. And there'll be robots going around the room, 3D printers always running. It's really, really cool. Really
fun. We need to, I'm just surprised we're not at that studio now showing that, but we can do it another time. But so Anthony, you're not wearing like a robe, a sensei robe, and you kind of take that off and then you're ready to code. Is that that's not how it works?
No. we do have code sensei shirts and sweaters and stuff.
Yeah. So some swag, right? That's they go back to Tyra. That's the swag you give people with cool shirts. I've seen some of the, they're kind of like that. It is sensei thing with that, the code ninja logo, right? It's.
Yeah. The big ninja head with a mask on.
Okay. So Anthony, let's go. So you have to go, you know, obviously you don't have to go. Where's the mouse? I mean, they don't probably use a mouse, but what do you start? Like, can you just give me that, the 1 minute version of how you get that kid started?
Oh, so we start off with, so we have these 4 games. Which one would you like to try? Because we don't want to have them play, make this one game that they might not like. So we give them a whole like array of choices.
Oh, okay. So you look, they see a finished game and then you go, all right, now you're going to code that.
Exactly. So we have these manuals and we just click on them. It's like, do you want to build this game? So then I briefly talk about what it's about and I move on to the next one. And then I give them the choice on which one they want to do.
Okay, so after 30 minutes, they're rolling out and saying, Mom, Dad, look at this. And they kind of, what, they show it on their iPad or their phone even? Or is it mobile-oriented or is it just...
We build it on one of our laptops.
Yeah.
And then we just bring out the laptops.
So they show Mom and Dad and Mom's like, yeah, I'm sold. Is that... So Tyra's like, takes over, okay, right? I mean, is it that... They really get, this is fun, right? So... They're showing that, and then how long is the course? So the parents say, yeah, let's get my kid into this, and Tyra?
So typically with the program, how it works, it's a month-by-month subscription. We do offer like 6-month subscription, 9 months, like people are more than willing to commit for that long of time because their kids just love it. But they'll come either once a week, twice a week, and each of their sessions are about an hour long, so that they do 40 minutes of coding and then 20 minutes of sensei time, which are like led activities from the senseis to really engage them, give them lectures on different aspects of coding, so they have a deeper understanding of certain terminology and stuff like that. And they play games, do little quizzes. They have lots of fun. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to hit on that point later, but so Anthony, let's go back. So they start the class. Now they're serious coding because that was just kind of the fun. You get them introduced to it. Mm-hmm. What's a typical month now? Walk me through a month in your way, Anthony.
So they would come in twice a week, and then they would, how we've arranged it is wherever they sit, they kind of have like a lead sensei or someone that's responsible for more or less like helping them. They go through the typical requirements to try to belt up because all of them are working on all these activities and learning without realizing it to try to belt up to the next level from white belt to yellow belt.
No, it's not like these, because I mean, some of these courses like HTML and CSS and Java, you know, they're hard, man. They're seriously hard. I'm like, I get stuck on the, all right, time to build your website. I'm like, well, this is all fun over here because it was copy and paste. But you're a little bit different, right, Anthony? It's not that level yet.
Yeah. What's great about the curriculum is there's parts where they can just copy and paste code, but there's after that, there are prove yourselves where they have to show what they learn and it won't show them the code.
Yeah. And then it's kind of harder because you got to, so what do they get? Where's their sources? Do you go, is it online or do you have different typical tech stacks that you use?
We have our own proprietary manual that goes along with our program.
So, okay. So, but show me what you learned. He or she's got to dig into what they learned in your manual. Then is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know who's going to speak to this, but I just saw that it started in Portland, right? The company, the franchisee, or how long, do you know any of the history there, Tyra? How long they've been around?
Yeah. They started, I believe, I want to say between 2011, 2013
yeah.
is when they started everything, and they branched out really, really quick, became a huge franchise. Now there's a bunch of different locations in the States, Canada, and the UK. There's over 320 right now.
And it's no surprise. I mean, if they did start around 2011, whatever that time period, you know, that's when kind of iPhone-y was coming out. iPhone 7 or iPhone 1 came out like 10 years ago. So you're getting that kind of lot of the people. But Portland, as you know, probably is I think that's where Nike was founded, and Portland, you know, that goes back, that's old guy territory. But I wonder why the origin in Portland, because it's not like Silicon Valley or San Francisco. Do you know why there?
I'm not too sure why. I believe they switched CEOs, so I don't know who started.
It's just more of a curiosity. So Anthony, come on, let's go back to the tech stack. Because you say you got your own proprietary, but surely there's a lot of low code, no code, or other sources out there that you rely upon, particularly the more advanced coders.
We actually have some other activities that we let them do as well. Just like a code combat. I don't know if you heard of it.
I haven't.
It's like basically this online website where you can code this fighter to go around beating levels. And just defeating these dungeons with these monsters,
yeah,
and to like go around traps and stuff. It's like a really fun interactive way to learn how to code.
That's incredible. So if you can't code it, you can't change your whatever your positioning to beat the monster or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But the coding is super simple. It's literally just hero move right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's I think you mentioned the object. That's that object oriented, right? Because you move like I created my own website with Wix. And it's all that moving around. And then I've seen people create apps with the same kind of functionality. Like you just move it and you can create an app. Is it that, do you get that? You mentioned object, or is it object oriented? Sorry for my ignorance.
Oh yeah. We briefly mentioned it, but within the white belt, we don't really want to teach them too much of that because it can be really confusing. So we kind of give them just the basics of programming first, but they are introduced to the concepts throughout the manual.
Okay. Because I remember my first time, it was an hour of code, and I think it was Khan Academy. It was like back in probably around that time, 2012, 13. It was an hour of code. Let's do this. That hour to make the rabbit, his teeth go bigger and smaller. It took me a few days, you know, like it was like this, the rabbit moved across the screen. Right. And it's probably Java or something like that, but I'm like, God, that was forever to make his eyes bigger and you know, all that stuff. So do you get into that yet? Or is it when they're a little bit older?
More advanced. Well, a little more advanced. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not that easy. An hour of code is nothing, right?
Yeah, that's why coming in multiple times a month, it can help them gradually learn all this stuff.
Build on. They can build on and what they've learned before. Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
So now I want to go back to Tyra, because Tyra, you and I, we talked offline and you mentioned something about the social aspect. A lot of kids roll in and as you mentioned earlier, I'll let you explain that, Tyra, because I want to hear your work, because you really explained that well.
When parents bring their kids in for that free session, typically, I'd say a majority of the kids that come in are really quiet, are really in their shell, and that's what the parents...
Wait, Ninja Turtle shell?
Yeah, they're Ninja Turtle shell. parents mentioned that as well, like, oh, my kid doesn't like sports very much, they like to sit in their room, play video games, that's kind of just what they do. And coming to Code Ninjas, I'd say after maybe 2 weeks, the kids are just so into it. They're so loud. They are talking to a bunch of other kids, like completely a different child after 2 weeks, just because they're able to connect with other kids on something that they love to do.
Right.
And with that, they connect on different levels, and then they're way more comfortable to talk to the senseis, and with the senseis as well, having younger senseis, everyone's in post-secondary university. I think we have a couple, maybe one or two in high school as well. And all of them have being younger, they're more like friends and mentors to the kids rather than a teacher. Cause no kid wants to be like, oh, yeah, I want to go learn and listen to another teacher for another hour of my day. Like, no, they're going there to have fun and talk to their friends, talk to the senseis, have a good time.
Do you get a lot of kids coming after they go, oh, yeah, we heard, you know what I mean, from the schools or wherever, the nearby schools, we heard about it from so-and-so and we want to join.
Yeah.
Because that social app, because that's powerful, right? That Discord group, and maybe Anthony, you know, you've got a Discord group that you're, you know, that networking. I only heard about Discord when my daughter was playing Fortnite. And she's like, and I said, how are you chatting? You know, like, because they were playing Fortnite and the person was, they weren't all together in the same room, right? And they're on a Discord channel. So, I mean, Discord, as you know, is probably big. So, Anthony, do you create a Discord channel or groups or any social kind of where they talk offline? Some of your kids?
No. They more talk to each other in person. It's okay. Whenever they see the same person, they start going like crazy. It's like, oh, hey, it's you again. And then they start like talking to each other. It's like, oh, how do you do this? How do you do that? Like, I've seen that happen so many times where they just really ask us to push desks together so they can sit beside each other and help each other.
See, back to your point, Tyra, like they roll in kind of, you know, quiet, and the parents are, and this, they're in their realm, right? They get in their corner of like that kind of pushing the desk together. Teachers, they die for that kind of stuff, that the kids in the schools can do that, right? They don't want to sit together or wherever. They're off in the corner or the front of the room, depending on where they are, the back of the room.
So yeah, anyway. And then they always want to come back to every single parent that walks in. They're like, oh, they've been asking all week when we're coming back. And they're asking for it all the time. And then they come in and they even talk to me and they're like, oh, I made this one game. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really understand what coding is. So I'm just going to nod my head. You're doing great.
That's funny. But look, from a marketing standpoint, right? That right there, how do you turn, this is more of a, you know, the bigger, whatever real world stuff, but it's like that. How do you turn fans or customers into fans, right? What you just described there is that's it. How do you, you know, how do you get the buzz? You guys are only a year in, you're not even a year into this. And it sounds like you've got a real thing going there. So Tyra, and we can talk offline on that kind of stuff, but that's a real emotion, right? Those are real emotions, either parents or students or both, right? Mm-hmm. But how many students do you have right now in total? Can you share some of that numbers on that?
Yeah, right now our regular students, which is our CREATE program, because we have two different programs right now. Our regular program, we have 78 students.
Wow.
And then our junior program, which is ages 5 to 7, we have, I believe, 18 of those little ones learning.
Let's talk about that a little bit to Anthony. What's it like? I mean, you've got little ones and older ones or more advanced. How do you approach a 7-year-old versus a 14-year-old for the first time? Like they're both. Neither of them, how do you see that? Do you see differences? And maybe you want to just speak to that a little bit, like nothing elaborate, just whatever.
I find that the older kids have a lot more experience than, let's say, like games. And like, cause like a lot of those games I used to play as a kid. So I find that like when I talk to them about what kind of games they play and how I used to play it, I think we get along really well. And then they're more open and very relaxed at the space afterwards.
Nice. And the younger ones are just kind of, they don't have that experience playing a lot of games or the less advanced games.
They don't, but you can always find interest, because I find like the younger kids like to talk about what they like and what they do. So as long as, you know, like you're supportive about it and very positive about it, then they become very open to space.
So is it like, come on, you migrated from Minecraft and things. You're no longer playing Minecraft, are you?
From time to time, I still do.
But it's like one of those old guy things, right? Or the old dad. You're not still playing the games your dad did. But that's kind of a fun space where if kids can enjoy the games with their dads. Do you find that they leave you and say, and they have more engagement with their parents? Maybe Tyra or Anthony can speak to that. I mean, just a level, like the parents are saying they're really open more, or we really do things. You know, I don't know. Is it that level yet, or?
I feel like with most of the parents, they tell me about their car rides home, which is a big one. And it's just, they get in the car and they don't stop talking and they're going on and on about what they did. Oh, I made this game. I played with this robot. Look at my print. It's all these different things. And they just go on about it. And they're like, hey, when am I going back?
Well, that, but that's that excitement. I mean, God, you need to capture that in a film. You need to get them. You need to get the video cam in the back of that car or whatever. Say, like, can we just take that piece? Because we want to share that with other kids, right? That come in and look. Can you just watch this video when those, you know, those first parents that come in? Can you just watch this video first? You know, that could be a great promo. You know, some kind of to promote the Code Ninjas.
But yeah. Anyway.
So I want to ask, you know, the what do you think, Anthony? Where the, you know, where this is going? Like, you've had I mean, this short period of time. How many classes have you taught so far? Could you say?
I could not count.
Okay.
A lot.
We were full time in the summer, so we were there Monday to Friday teaching. He was teaching camps every single day.
Are the kids graduating? Have some graduated and now being teachers, or that's still too early?
A little too early.
Okay, yeah, because I don't mean it in a sense. I was like, that would be really cool to see now the progression. You know, we were here, I was seven, and now they're like the 17-year-old or whatever, and they come in, now I'm teaching, I'm the sensei. That's probably something that's going to happen in the next few years, right? I mean,
yeah, we've actually had a student ask if he can work here after he's finished the belts.
You go all the way to black belt?
Yeah.
So what's the progression? Give me the belt. So the white is the first, is that?
Yeah, it goes white, yellow, orange, green, blue, purple, red, black, something like that.
Red, brown, black.
Red, brown.
Brown. Thank you. The brown. But yeah. You're following like the traditional ninja thing, right? Like, or yeah, sensei, yeah. Or, you know, Sifu. There was a guy, I remember, yeah. The Sifu, you're not a Sifu yet. Or is that, is Sifu like really, is higher than a sensei?
I think they mean the same thing, actually.
Okay, I'm just kidding. But that you're sort of following that traditional karate or Karate Kid belt thing.
Yes,
that's cool. All right, so there was one other thing I wanted to ask, and so because you didn't really there for COVID, right? COVID wasn't the first, because you were already opening when COVID opened, right? Is that how the timing was?
Exactly. We started in the end of April, opened our doors, and we had a couple of kids in right away, pre-registers and all of that. And then when May, the end of May came around, that's when the big COVID kind of hit.
Slammed, everything was
shut down. But technically we were considered private education, so we were actually able to stay open during that time. So even though everyone was still affected by it, we didn't have to close down or anything, which was great. Otherwise, okay. It would have been pretty hard.
Yeah. But you don't do any virtual. It's all in-person classes.
We did a couple virtual. We had one virtual student who wasn't, her parents weren't comfortable with having him in the dojo yet. We made that an option as well, but a lot of parents were more, I need to get my kid out of the house type thing. But we did offer virtual as an option, and Anthony actually ran a virtual camp as well in the beginning of May, I think.
Look, Anthony, what's your view? Because you said you've been coding now for about 7 years. What's your view? Because I know I had some pre-COVID discussions with coders, and they're like, oh, I can't do remote. You know, I need to see their code. I need to be in the same room. And what's your view on that, Anthony?
Definitely same view as them, as because with the virtual camp, whenever they had a problem with their program, it took a really long time for me to be able to, you know, see their screen or see where the problem lies. It's because kids don't understand technology as much. They understand it in the terms of being able to navigate to games and such, but like not to, you know, debugging, opening consoles and all that.
Okay. So it's a little bit of friction trying to navigate through the online, giving that, sharing the screen, but it could be done. If you're more advanced, you'd probably understand it. Probably it's not so bad.
Yeah.
So are you doing more coding at school, like in Mount Royal?
Yep, I am.
Okay, so the program, I wanted to give a shout out to a past guest of the, I don't know if you know Gio Moroz and the Flamingo team. I think Gio is a fourth year, or he may have graduated last year.
I do not.
Okay, so he's a product of your department. They just raised some seed money. It doesn't matter, but they just raised for their app. Or their investment app. So it's they were students, Taren Singh and Gio Moroz from Flamingo. I just let you guys know that. But you have a really deep history now, and I think at Mount Royal, the computer science program. So just hats off to, I'm not here to shout out the different because I don't know them, right? Professors, just two of the people that have been on my path. There was another guys, they were pre kind of computer science department. They were on my, the OPLI, if you look at OPLI with two I's, O-P-L-I-I, they were also two, they created a, you know, kind of a software with a technology for the oil and gas sector. And they graduated, but a long time ago in the early 2000s when it was still a college. So I just shout out there. And you probably both know I've done several podcasts with different students from Mount Royal. So I just, the programs are just evolving and incredible. So I wanted to share that with you both.
Yeah.
Shameless plug, I have to say, for the podcast, but no. But I did want to, I want Anthony one more. Sorry, Tyra, I'll give you more chance to talk. But the tech stack in general is rapidly changing. Maybe in university, you can talk to this a bit or to the students. What do you say to people, Anthony? It's constantly, everything is just so rapidly and there's new things happening all the time. What do you say to that?
I think because of the ever-changing world of technology, I think it's best, it's a really good thing that we're starting teaching kids how to program early. Because like I said, like learning in high school was really difficult for me because how I like to think of it is you need a programming brain. You need to think in code. But the later you learn it, the less likely you'll be able to do that.
That's a good insight. So if they're learning early, but how do they filter through? How do you say to students to filter that? Like, okay, come in, Anthony, I want to learn all this. I want to learn all that. What do you say to that? Right.
Most of the time they don't really understand coding. So I don't have too many of those questions, but I did have this one student that did ask, oh, what's object oriented programming? Oh, yeah. What other ones use it? What other ones don't use it? Why don't they use it? So that was a very different experience for me.
Okay. Well, Tyra, I'll take the same question to you, but switch it into digital marketing, media, social media. How do you filter in class and your Willow Park experience, but what do you say to people? The digital market is always new things coming out. What do you say? What do your teachers say to you on that?
With digital marketing, it's pretty, there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. And I actually just recently did some Google Analytics courses, and on there, it actually helped me understand the coding that the kids do. And like even the coding that I've been working with, and I didn't even know I was working with, like UTM tags and different ways to track where your leads are coming from, because all of our leads come in and I have to find out where they're coming from, what is a great source for them to, for our customers to navigate to, which I don't know if you've heard of it, but Chatterblock is a really great one where all Calgary parents can actually go and find different activities for their kids and different family activities, birthday party things, stuff like that. So all the code ninjas are really active on there, and that's where a lot of our leads come from, actually, is that website. But yeah, following all those UTM tags and then working with other digital marketing companies, because we're working with a couple right now, like ClickTex. So then even me being as a student, I'm always asking questions like, oh, how does that work? How did you do that? And where are all these marketing things going to, and where are they coming from? But a lot of it is also head office as well. And I reach to them for a lot of our resources.
Right.
They give a bunch of different webinars and they give us so many different resources of how to do things, what to do things, what is the best way to approach a parent and talk to them and to be able to close that sale and stuff like that, which it's actually been super helpful in my studies and even helping me get some sales.
Well, that's incredible. So you're getting practical skills back into the classroom and then you take from the classroom back and forth. Like it's like a vicious circle or something. And then you have the head office saying you can, and literally you yourself have to filter that just on a daily, all those different dynamics. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. But so just for my own UTM tags, what do those stand for? The UTM?
I actually don't know what it stands for, but UTM tags will show you where a source is coming from, the medium, and a bunch of other information as well. So if it's coming from a website, it'll say website, it'll say Chatterblock, it'll say specific of what they clicked on. So more information, or birthday parties, or camps, or create, different stuff like that.
That's incredible. So Anthony, can you speak? I'll go back to this in a second there. So Anthony, what does do you know what UTM stands for before I Google it?
I just Googled it actually. Universal Transverse Mercator.
Okay. So it's really just taking what's out there and putting it into a language that Tyra just spoke to. Like, here's where it came from. Here's the source. Because I've had a couple of marketing experts on my podcast, and they were talking about digital tracing or heat tracing, you know, and it's literally showing what you just described, and they go right down to how long people are on the website, like how long they were there. And that's the beauty. And I'll just share this, my TikTok. I don't sit on TikTok every day, but I listened to a podcast and he was saying TikTok knows based on how long you've been on a site, that page, right? Where you looked. And I don't know how, that was what they were going to. I think someone, they were talking about how they're going to use the eye movement to dictate where you were on the page. And I don't, Anthony, is that something you've ever heard of?
I don't think so. No.
But so they take that from how long, you know, the 6 seconds that you roll through on a TikTok feed, and that algorithm tells them what the like for you, not necessarily for you and your friends, but for you compared to someone else that's say down in Brazil or in Eastern Europe or wherever it is, who looked at the same page for the same amount of time. Right. So your for you page, the algorithm works such that it feeds back in. So, I mean, that's very technical, but that heat tracing and how long you've been on the site, that's probably really valuable for you, Tyra, for that marketing side.
Yeah, with our website, we don't, it's all run by head office, the website stuff. It's just our own social media accounts that we run locally. Yeah. But with our, with Google Analytics, it even shows you like if you're, where people are tapping and where they're leaving your site. So then you can see what areas of your website are really effective and what areas aren't as effective. And with that, we can actually go on and see all of our ads and different ads that we're running and what keywords in Google are actually being searched the most and where we can target that.
That's incredible and insightful, Anthony. I'm sorry, but I want to go this a bit because this speaks to what a lot of, you know, the traction, like what bringing people to your site, what keeps them. So it might've been the, whatever the coding thing, but then there's like some local thing. I don't know. Like this is where they get into, how do you keep people on your site, engage them? Maybe something local happening in Willow Park area, maybe Calgary oriented. It might not even be anything to do. That's where partnerships and things like that come into play. And then that buying app, or does this, you know, buy now or put to, do you have like one of those where go to the cart?
Yeah, where you can do, typically what we do is we don't have, like there's those buttons, those catchphrases to get people to click on something to take them somewhere. And ours is more get information, because a lot of people are like, oh, I see that, my kid can do that. I don't really understand it very well. And typically we have to explain it to them. But as soon as they click, they could fill out a couple little pieces of information and then we're on the phone with them 5 minutes later.
Is there a chat bot? Do you have a chat bot that comes and says, hi, my name's Tyra, but I'm not really
you know. No chat bar.
But that helps. Sometimes I like it when it pops up. I don't necessarily go to it, but it gets my attention because it literally, you look down there and you're like, okay, and you shut it off, you push it away. But sometimes I want to say, well, I just wanted to get somebody for more information, right? Because in case.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, Anthony, any last words? Because is there anything I haven't asked you about the program you want to, you know, tell me and share with me?
I don't think so, but sorry, just 1 second. The UTM, actually, the
I like this. No.
The acronym I said it for was actually for a plane coordinate grid system. So it's not actually for the whole UTM tags.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But do you, I mean, are you learning kind of stuff like the hashtags and how to use the SEO and meta tags and things like that?
Yeah. Right now more I'm learning about kind of React right now.
React.js or React Native. Is it React Native or?
React JavaScript. Something.
Okay. Yeah. React.js. So that's what you're learning in school at Mount Royal. I say school because school, but like, it is still school, right? You're still learning, but.
Of course.
So you learn, what other, can you share anything that else you've learned at Mount Royal?
Oh yeah. I've learned all sorts of languages like Java, database language, SQL.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
HTML, CSS, of course, and also Bash.
Bash, what's that?
Bash is your command line language. So, you know, if you ever do CMD on your computer to like look at random stuff, that kind of language.
So the CMD here on my MacBook, that There's a language behind that.
MacBooks, I believe, have a different OS operating system. Yeah. So it uses a different language.
That's so cool. I mean, sorry, Tyra, but this is fun stuff. But okay, so so you're learning practical stuff. So what, Anthony, what's next after that? When you're done, are you going to be your sensei? You go from sensei up to the guru, or you know what I mean? Where are you going to go? What's next? I mean, let's take when you graduate, where would you go with your skills?
I honestly haven't thought too much about it because I like to just, you know, live in the present type of thing where I don't worry about the future too much, but I just know that I want to do something program oriented. It's nice to have that whole business knowledge at hand to just be able to use whatever, but I really want to program. I really want to write.
You're helping others, right? Do you see kids advancing to the program level and they're asking you, Anthony, what's going on over at Mount Royal kind of thing? Is it that level yet?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think as they get more into coding and find how fun coding can be and how creative you can be with it, they'll start wondering what they can do with it, even on their off time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So look, Tyra, I do want to, I have to thank Tyra for this because I did some research on Tyra. So you're at Mount Royal. But I also found out you're a dance instructor. Yeah. You used to be, maybe not anymore. But from that, it inspired me to reach out to, and I think I told you this offline, to episode number 42 with the Icon Dance Company. So I reached out to Chris and Jen, and they said, yeah, let's do another update. So it's been a while, right? So my last episode was Friday night, but we brought on three of the dancers. And so we were on a kind of a Zoom chat as well, and they just talked about the program. And it was thanks to, I really tired. That just triggered it because it was a long time ago. So we just rekindled our dance, and it was just fun. It was a real fun. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. Are you still dancing or you don't do that anymore?
I danced competitively for 8 years and then started teaching, but I had three jobs in March. I was working at IKEA, doing school,
right,
teaching dance, and working for Code Ninjas. So I unfortunately had to give up dance, but that's okay.
But see, this is, you'd understand what they were talking about because they were like, yeah, we didn't get to do our year end. It wasn't a recital or year end. They called it something. They got, instead of gala, you know the name, but.
Yeah. Probably recital or gala would be either one of those.
So they said we couldn't do it. Maybe it was a recital because of the COVID thing, right? But online, they said one of the things that really stuck with me was during COVID, a lot of the famous choreographers and dance schools were posting stuff on, you know, for free to see. Which they normally didn't. So it was kind of this coveted, you either had to pay for it or was part of a session dance, in-person dance. So that was something that really stuck out. And we were just kind of joking because it's hard for them to do work in the home or dance moves in the house.
Teaching dance online is really so hard, especially with little kids. I taught little ones with Fox Dance Company. And you're going one way on the screen, but then they're going the opposite way. But then sometimes they're going the right way. And the second you put them in the room, I'm like, okay, turning on the music, do what you learned online. And everyone's going opposite directions. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Funny.
Start over.
That is funny. Okay. Well, I guess it's put Anthony's point about the coding on. It's little, everything just has to adjust. And, that'd probably take time. So is there, Tyra, I know we talked about a lot of different things. Is there anything that I didn't ask you or you wanted to share about Code Ninjas?
I don't know. With Code Ninjas, the kids actually get to learn a bunch of different languages, which I don't think we mentioned. But they start with JavaScript. They can learn Lua and C#. And some kids, if they come in and they want to learn a specific language or they're already working on a project or need help with it, that's one thing that we're really open on, and we let them choose what they want to do. The senseis are always there to help them. The senseis are there to guide them on what they need to learn before they do what they want to learn, or they can do a mixture of both, helping them with different questions and projects. I think that's one of my favorite parts of Code Ninjas, is that kids, if they don't already know stuff, they're there to help them because their parents or their teachers can't help them any further. Our senseis can.
That's incredible because you and I talked a little bit offline about your own brother who's a coder, or some of the kids that are, when they hit that afterwards, what, you know, like there's that gaming side or the other side. Do you see queries coming from kids on that? I mean, Anthony, maybe you want to speak to that as well, but where they're sort of saying, what else? What's next?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few kids that are either starting, they start with gaming and they think they know a lot about programming or coding, or there is some kids that come in and they actually do know some stuff about coding and programming. And with both of those things, we're able to tailor their education and their learning directly to them because everything is so individual. Every kid is working on their own projects. And that makes it easier for us to give the child exactly what they want and what they want to learn, what they're interested in, and not just give them something that they are completely against.
This is so much fun. I really thank you. We'll have to revisit this in a year because there's probably going to be, and bring some of the students on and just to tell their experiences, because I think it'd be fantastic. And then Anthony will be graduated by then and he'll have a new certificate to talk about. But no, literally, how do people find you? The Willow Park and you in general, again, both of you in general.
For Code Ninjas? Sorry?
Yeah, for Code Ninjas, sorry.
Our website, all of our social media, Code Ninjas Willow Park, for Instagram, Facebook, and online.
Okay. Anthony, how do they find you? Because you're in the dark. You're not, he's not, Anthony didn't show his face on this. For the benefit of the two listeners out there, I'm just kidding, Anthony.
Actually, my computer doesn't have a camera, unfortunately. But sorry, what do you mean? How do they find me?
Oh no, I mean, are you on social media, or you're in the dark as well on social media?
Oh no, yeah, I Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all that.
I'm just joshing with you guys. But look, this has been fun. This has been a lot of fun, and I do think revisit this in the. I really want to put that invite out to you two, or and just say, hey, feel free to send people that want to talk about these different programs. There's 7 in Calgary, I think. I looked on, I Googled. I didn't use the UTM tags, but I did. I Googled earlier. So I think there are 9, including Okotoks, Airdrie, and Cochrane. So there's a lot in this community.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And we're all super welcoming of each other. We all contact each other for help on different situations, issues, projects.
Nice. This is all pretty new, right? Some of these ninjas, these Calgary ninjas or Code Ninjas, are pretty new still.
Yeah, like most of them are actually just opened in the past year or two, I'd say.
Wow, what an opportunity! So both you, Anthony and Tyra, look, let's put that out there for the next year. At the end of next year, we'll get it roll another podcast. This would be fun.
Sounds good.
All right, you two have a great day and back to school, I guess. Back to school, you two.
All right. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Bye now.
Bye.